Hi, this is Chris Pels, and in this video we're going to learn how to sync up two user controls on a page. We're going to use drop-down lists in this particular example, and what I mean by syncing up is many times you probably go into websites and on a page you'll pick a value in the first control, say a drop-down list of customers, and then based upon what you pick in that first drop-down list control, the second drop-down list control is populated with data items that correspond to your selection in the first control. And you'll see this here, we're going to use drop-down list, but what the kind of theory behind what we're going to do here can be applied to really syncing up any kinds of controls on a web page. So let's go in here, let's create a little sample website. Now I'm going to call this website VB. It's going to be a Visual Basic based sample. When you download the sample code that comes with this video, you'll also get it in C#. So let's just create a simple little page. Let's just go over in the design mode and we're going to put two drop-down lists on the page. There we go. Number one, and let's put number two on here. Go back to source. Let's just do a little bit of formatting and naming here so things make a little more sense when you get the sample source code. We'll just put a couple line breaks. Let me just put, and we'll call this customer. And let's say we'll call this state. And what the state drop-down list is going to do is that's going to show you what states the customer has offices in. So let's just name these a little bit better so when the sample code makes a little more sense. And we'll just call this customer. And as you might guess, we'll just call this one state. All right, let's just go back and take a quick look at that. Okay, that looks good. It's very simple, but that'll get our point across. Let me just format the HTML here using Control KD. If you haven't done that, it's a very handy little shortcut. You can do it in the code behind source code files as well, and it very quickly formats everything nice and neatly. So we have our two drop-down lists, and as I said, what we want to do is populate first drop-down list with customers, and then based upon the selection of the first one, we're going to fill the second one. We'll show you how that works. In order to do that, what we need is to have a few event handlers, and we're just going to double-click on customer to get an event handler for that drop-down list. And the other thing we need is we need to populate the list initially, the list of customers that is. So let's just add, where is it? Let's just, we'll go on page load. There's a couple different event handlers where we could put this, but this will suffice. So what we want to do here is when the page loads, if it's not a postback, so we'll say if not is postback, then what we want to do is populate our customer drop-down list. So we'll say drop-down list customer. And what we want to do is go to items, add, and we want to add either a new item, or let's get the other IntelliSense override here, is a list item, and we're going to use list item. Now you might be saying, why would I have my customers manually here in the code behind like this? Now I will say that normally what you might be doing is retrieving these from a database and populating the drop-down list by using a data source, data bind, or binding it to one of the more design-oriented data sources. But for this simple example, we're going to not worry about the database because it's really not a focus of what we're trying to do here. So with that said, let's go to the list item, and we have four overrides here. We're going to do a text and the value, and these are customers, so why not? Microsoft. And the value there is a 1. Now we're going to repeat this. Just I'm going to put, I don't know, 5 or 6 customers in here. And we'll put a second one. We'll call it IBM 2. And I'm just going to continue on here for a moment. And let's put a list item. And now we'll stick with tech companies. We'll put Apple. And let's put Sun Microsystems. And we'll just do one more here. And last but not least, we'll put Google. And I can see here, a little quick on the draw, we need another parenthesis to close things out. And those little squiggly lines. All right, so that should load our drop-down list of customers. Let's start up the page and just double-check that. So here we go. We'll start it up, take a look. And that looks good. We're getting the drop-down list, number one, populated. So now what we want to do is go into this selected index change event handler for the drop-down list of customers. And every time this changes, what we want to do is populate a list of states that correspond to the selected customer. So how do we do that? So what we need to do here is we need to determine which item was selected and then populate the second drop-down list accordingly. So let's go to select, and the variable we actually want to use the drop-down list of customer, and we want to get the selected value. And so then we'll go down here, and we have to put in several of these. Case 3, case 4, and case 5. So I'm just going to go down here. I'm just going to indent these so it's a little cleaner. So now we have determined which one is selected, and then we need to populate the drop-down list of states. Now again, we're going to do this manually here, and you would likely go off to the database, pass the value of the selected item, and retrieve a list of states corresponding to the customer. We're going to keep it nice and simple here because it still demonstrates the principles we're trying to get in this particular video nicely. So what we want to do is we want to take the drop-down list of the states into items, and the first thing we need to do is to clear the items because we don't want the old state items in there. And then we'll go to state.items, and as you might suspect, what we're going to do is we're going to add a bunch of items in here. So cities, and let's see, Microsoft, so we'll Seattle, definitely have an office in Seattle. And let me just speed this up. Let me just put a couple more in here. And we forgot that closing parenthesis again. That's a bad habit. There we go. And Seattle. And actually, these were supposed to be states, weren't they? So we'll put Washington, California, and let's put New York. So now when we pick Microsoft, we should get those states, and we need to do a similar thing for the others. So what we're going to do is we're just going to copy things down here, and we'll just change some of the names. So let's see, who was number two? I said really it doesn't matter which states, but IBM, Apple, Sun, okay. So we'll go in here, and we'll put Nevada, and we'll put New Jersey, And last but not least, we'll put Texas. And let me just quickly go through some of these. And down to California. We'll leave California in there. We will put, let's see, what should we put? North Carolina. And we'll leave Washington. Okay. Let's put Massachusetts, California. And let's put Georgia. And then just a couple more here. Just enough so we can tell that things are working properly. Put Vermont. And we'll put Oregon. All right. So now what should happen is when we select our customer, we should see the list of states change. So let's give this a whirl and see how it works. And I realize there's one more thing we need to do. We need to go over to our drop-down list, and let's do this here in the property editor. And what we need to do is set this auto postback property, because normally the drop-down list, when you change it, it doesn't cause a postback to the server. So let's put that to true. And now let's test the page. All right, so here we go. Fire up the page in the browser. And we don't have any states for the initial selection, so that's a little issue. We'll have to fix that in a moment. Let's pick Sun Microsystems. There we're getting Mass is the first. Let's just try IBM, just make sure that's loading. So now we're getting the behavior that we would like, in that we have a dynamically loading list of states. So let's go back here and change this a little bit. And we'll go back over to the code behind, and let me go down in here. And what we want to do is we're going to say drop down list customer. I'm going to add another item in here, and all right, and select. So that's just going to be a nice indicator to the user that they should select something from the list of companies. And what we're going to do here is I'm going to take this code. I'm going to take this code. There we go. And we're going to put this in its own method. And you'll see why I'm going to do that in a moment. So there we go. Down here. Sub, and let's go get states. Let's put this in here. And what we need to do is we need to have a value called the index as a string. And do that. I'll go back up here. Now we'll go get states, and I'm going to paste in the selected value. So this is just compartmentalizing and separating out a little bit, because then we'll be able to call this separately. Okay, so every time the selected index changes, we will call get states. And what we're going to do here, see it, and we're going to go down to the case else, and what we're going to do in there, drop down list state and items. Clear, and the reason we're doing that is if they pick this select, which we have down here, and there we go again, closing parenthesis. Okay, if they pick this select down here, then what we want to do is have no states. And in fact, yeah, there we go. I see the problem. We need a new list item. There we go. Okay. So now the behavior should be slightly different and a little more enhanced for the behavior that we want ultimately. So let's give it a shot. Let's look at it. All right, so we'll open it up in the debug mode here. And initially, nothing selected. We probably need something down here. This isn't too user-friendly. This is a little bit better, so we'll pick Apple. post back, and we'll get Florida and the other states in there, so that's looking nice. So let's go back. In fact, before we leave, let me go back up to select, and it does go back to empty. And what we probably should do there is, when we clear these items for the state, items to add, new list item, we'll just put none available. Alright, so then, okay, what we need to do is we need to invoke this when we load the list the first time. So we'll go get states and put the index as a string, and we're just going to put minus one. Now we could code that explicitly up above. That's another alternative instead of just doing case else, but this should work. So let's fire it up and take a look at that. Let's open the page. So that's a little, we're getting a little bit better here in our user interface. We'll select Apple again, states load, go back to select, none available. So that's doing pretty well. Now the other thing we probably should do is this should be disabled. So what we'll do down here is we'll go drop down list state, enabled equals false, oops, and take that and I just indent that, and we'll go up here. Now we could do this, we could put this in every one of them. What we're going to do simply is we're going to assume that we want it enabled, and probably could think of a little cleaner way to do this, but this will work right now. And this way we only get one call, and put that, and this should, let's just see if this works. Let's fire it up. So we did this correctly, and to see that that's disabled here. Now when we pick, it does enable it. Now does it do it if we go back? It does. So it's getting pretty good, pretty close to what we want. And there's one more thing I'd like to try here. We have a few more minutes we can spend on this. And what I'd like to do is make this asynchronous. So we're going to go back over here. We go into the code and update panel update, and we'll call this the update panel customer, run at equals server. We need a, it's called a content template. If you haven't dealt with update panels, what they do is they allow you to wrap sections of your HTML page and then update them asynchronously. So essentially everything inside this content template will be updated asynchronously. So let's take a look at here. So you also need something called a script manager. Run at equals server. And what the script manager does is it's kind of an interface, so to speak, between the Ajax-based functionality and your page. It manages a number of aspects of the page. If you aren't familiar with using the Ajax capabilities in ASP.NET, I encourage you to read up on the script manager control and understand the sequence of events that goes on in terms of implementing Ajax on the page. That's just a little side note. You also want to look at the Ajax control toolkit if you're not familiar with that. Alright, so let's start up the page. And what should happen now, you should watch down here in the lower left corner where you normally see the progress bar when it's posting back. And when I go up here, and we're going to pick Sun Microsystems, now we watch down the left, the page doesn't post back, but we get the list of states for Sun Microsystems. And if we go to one of the other companies here, it updates again without the page posting back. And this is a very nice UI for the user. A little more less action with all the posting back, and especially for a simple operation like this where we're just trying to update a second control on the page based upon the contents of our first control. So go back over here to the code behind, and let's just in closing here briefly look at what we did. I'll go back here. We have two drop-down lists. We'll ignore the update panel right at the moment, but the basic premise is you have two controls on the page, and then in the code behind, when the first control, in this case our list of customers, posts back and you are on the server, you get the value or information essentially from the control that's posting back. In this case, we're getting the selected value, and based upon the information in the first control, in this case the customer, we're then retrieving data for the secondary control. And we put this down here in this little method called getStates, and that's where we're populating our list of states. Now, as I said, what you might be doing in this, and what I'm going to do is just put a little comment in here to that effect, so you remember, and put a retrieve data from database as an option. And that, just so you know, or let me just put, we'll just put note here, and that's just tells you that what you might be doing here very likely is getting the list of customers from a database. And we'll just put that same comment up here so we have it. So there is the basic premise. Now, you're not limited to updating just one secondary control based upon the first control. We could be filling out whole sections of a page based upon this approach. And last, just to review, we use the asynchronous capabilities of Microsoft AJAX implementation in ASP.NET, and we put the updating of the controls inside an update panel, and that caused the non-postback asynchronous update, which is a much more pleasant experience for the user. This is Chris Bells. Thanks for watching this video on synchronizing user controls on a web page, in this case populating a second drop-down list based upon the user's selection in the initial drop-down list.